And welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm Dennis Wu with our new host, Noemi Rojas. Noemi, welcome. Who are our guests today?
Thank you, Dennis. We are speaking today with Fernando Gonzalez. He is the lead epidemiologist for the City Health Department. We also have Alejandra Rodarte. She oversees El Paso's immunization program. Is that accurate to say
that?
Yes,
that's correct.
But her title is Public Health Supervisor, Texas Vaccines for Children Immunizations Program. And I'm glad to have you. I think we have you in at a timely point in what's happening in El Paso. We've had 13 deaths now from the flu virus. And so I hope to, you know, touch on what's happening with that. Should people be alarmed? And what messages you want to get out with regard to being immunized and who needs to be immunized, things like that. I know that my co-host here, Dennis, he was just getting over he's still getting over congestion. And you had a question as to if he was immunized and if he had been sick before. And what were you saying?
Okay. First of all, thank you for inviting us here. It's a great pleasure to participate with you and be able to bring all this important information to your listeners. And right before Dennis walked into the room, Mr. Gonzalez and I, we were talking about there's still a misconception that if you get vaccinated, you're going to get sick. Then when Mr. Dennis mentioned that he was sick a couple of weeks back and he's recovering for some mild illnesses, so I asked, have you received your flu vaccine? And he said, oh, no, because the last time that I got it, actually last year, I got very sick. And we were just kind of like joking around because, unfortunately, that's still a misconception. And one of the things that I wanted to find out if he was mildly sick when he got the vaccine, because that can be a factor to get the symptoms, to get the reaction, because your system is already down. Your immune system is not strong enough to fight the symptoms, and sometimes that's when your system reacts to the injection and when you start getting the symptoms. In this case, if I'm correct, you were not sick.
Right. Now, my question here then would be back to the two of you with regarding to the gestation period of, let's say, the flu virus or a cold bacteria. There is a point from the time that you catch it till it goes full blown. And from what I remember, it can be anywhere from 1 to 5 days, depending on what it is and who you are and how your immune system reacts. This program is designed for people 50 and over, but it really just broadens itself out to children that are 2 months to 105. So my question again is the gestation period, because that's key to answering your question about when I got that flu virus.
This is very important because going back to the incubation period of the virus, we need to consider that it can go even for a week regarding to incubation. Since the moment that the virus comes into your body and then start reproducing up to the point that starts giving you symptoms. Also, we need to consider any type of immune depression condition, stress, nutrition, exercising. All of those factors are protecting factors that can help overcome the virus attack. In the case of immunization, most probably you already had the virus circulating in your body, not at the point that it was giving you symptoms, and then you got the shot, and then you had the flu, the full-blown disease.
Mm-hmm. A question I had was, are you contagious during the incubation period?
There's a point in which you become infectious. Very close to where the symptoms appear, you're going to be infectious, not even knowing that you're going to catch.
So wash your hands even though you feel good.
Definitely.
How do people know? How would you know during that incubation period if you feel okay? And how would you know that you would be most infectious? Because you're right. There is a point in time where all of a sudden, everything just slides downhill, and you get it. But there's that period where you feel so good, and then boom.
Again, here we go again about what Mr. Gonzalez was mentioning. It all depends on your system. Your system is unique. You react to certain exposure in a unique way. So if you're healthy and your exercise nutrition, so more than likely you're not going to feel the symptoms until you're already completely, the virus has already hit you to the point that it's going to show the symptoms. Whereas if you're a person with some kind of like immune system depression, you're going to show the symptoms faster because your immune system is already weak. So it all depends on each person is different.
So the immunizations that you're giving people now, is it the H1N1 strain?
It includes protection against that one. Okay. The vaccine that we have available is a trivalent, which it includes the H1N1. And some providers might have some of the quadrivalent that is including the H1N1 as well. Okay, so keep in mind the vaccine, after you get the vaccine, it takes a couple of weeks for your body to develop the antibodies to fight the disease. So that doesn't mean that if you get vaccinated today, you're 100% protected against the virus if you get exposed tomorrow.
Is there a vaccine shortage right now?
No, actually, I was able to get some numbers. We have several providers here in El Paso that they still have the flu vaccine. As of last month, we still have 18,000 doses more or less available. Okay, that's including pediatricians, that's including family practice.
Does that include Walgreens?
No, that's what I was going to mention. That's not including pharmacies, that's not including any retail stores that might be vaccinated. So vaccine is available. Okay, it is very important the community checks with their provider, especially the elderly going to their family practice provider.
Okay, so let's demystify the flu vaccine in of itself so that the public, including myself, gets the vaccine and protects ourselves. What is it about it that frightens most of us away from getting the vaccine other than the needle?
Well, it could be lack of knowledge and information regarding, this disease, which is so common worldwide. There's nobody in this world that hasn't had a common cold or a flu attack. The thing is that, getting immunized not only protects your body from developing the disease. Maybe you can get the virus, but you're not going to be developing the disease as a major event. Also, it's going to prevent or it's going to decrease the percentage when individuals attend a medical office. Also prevents or decreases the percentage of hospitalizations, severe aspects of the disease, decreases or diminishes the power of the virus. We need to be clear that the vaccine, the one that we are providing, is not 100% effective. There's no vaccine in this world invented by a human that can prevent 100% of disease. But if we are in the current situation that we know the virus, science has been all over this bug, and now we know precisely composition, attack, virulence, and other specific characteristics. Now, we know, and we are very clear of the preventive measures that we have. We have the vaccine that contains the virus and other viruses that can produce influenza. And then if you get sick or somebody gets sick, the treatment exists. So we have a lot of tools and a lot of preventive factors that can avoid people getting very sick, going to a hospital, going to a doctor's office, or even dying.
Mr. Gonzalez, I know that of the 13 people who have died in El Paso, one of them was not immunized, I think. Is that right? Or no, 12 of them were not immunized. One was immunized and still died. Did that surprise you that one who was immunized still
you
died?
You need to consider the age of the individual, general health status. 12 of the 13 cases that died had underlying conditions. Only the young person that recently died apparently was a healthy person. rest, had underlying conditions, diabetes, cancer, leukemia, and other severe health conditions.
Well, I know that we typically hear that it's the very old, the very young, or people with compromised immune systems who really are vulnerable to the flu and dying. But this year's deaths, I mean, we've had some middle-aged, you know, people, who, and it's kind of, you know, concerning.
That is correct. Mean age of deaths occurred during this season is 50 years old. So that's a very young age. That's the mean age.
Is that
the median?
That median for El Paso, that's for El Paso County or for the region?
And for the whole United States. All H1N1 is the most prevalent virus circulating at this moment, and this is the most affected group of individuals, middle-aged, young and middle-aged persons.
Okay. It brings me to another question that for some reason boggles my mind. I understand where shingles comes from. If you've had chickenpox or measles, you've got the virus in your system, and so shingles will come out of that. But why is there now an outbreak that seems more media unfriendly than in previous years? I get it, shingles, one arm, boom, I'm okay. But now I'm seeing more and more cases. Why?
Okay, one of the things that concern me, we usually do presentations with prenatal classes. And one of the questions that I always ask, how many of you here remember when was the last time that you got vaccinated? Very few hands go up. Keep in mind that as we grow older, again, our immune system weakens and we get more, we're at more risk of getting exposed to any other diseases. So we don't have the protection that we used to have before. And then, unfortunately, once we turn 18 to 21, we feel that we're invincible. We don't have mom and dad to push us to go get immunized. So we tend to forget. Immunizations is not our primary concern when we're growing on the 20s and we're concerned about either school or some other things that we it's our priorities. So the way I believe it's happening is because we don't keep ourselves updated with our boosters. We got vaccinated at the age of 5, 7 years old, maybe, and then after that, we forget. Okay, as that Mr. Gonzalez was mentioning, not one vaccine that we have out there is 100%, is going to give you 100% protection. So we have to do our part getting our boosters, being healthy, and do our best.
I was reading in the El Paso Times that this year's virus is highly contagious. Is that accurate? Is it highly unusually?
It's the same virus. This
okay.
is all about. This is all about the level of immunity that the individuals in the community have. The virus is
okay.
They affected in 2009 all of the world. The origin of the pandemic that we had in 2009?
Can you explain to our listeners type A virus, type B virus, and then the H1N1 virus?
There are three types of viruses that can produce the flu, A, B, and C. Type A virus has different strains and subtypes. One of the most virulent strain is H1N1. But then you can move to other strains like H5, H7, and then H9. Those are constantly, in the mind of scientists because those are the ones they can transfer to the human, and then a human can infect a human, a pandemic can happen. But going back to H1N1, it's only one of the subtypes or types and subtypes of type A. Mostly type A viruses need a host. In this case, birds are the host of H1N1 type A viruses. Type B viruses, those are human viruses. Live with humans, produces disease in humans and affects humans. Same as type C. Less virulent and more contained. Type B can create a public health issue on a regular basis.
So the deaths that we're seeing now, were those mostly type A's?
Yes. 10 of the 13 deaths are associated to type A H1N1. 2 deaths are associated to type A H3 and 2. And 1 to type A non-specified subtype. Okay. So all of them were associated to type A virus.
So if you're just joining us, we're talking to lead epidemiologist with the City Health Department, Fernando Gonzalez, and Alejandra Rodarte, who oversees El Paso's immunization program. The flu season really goes all the way into the spring, doesn't it? So it's not too late to get immunized.
Definitely, definitely. Unfortunately, again, the misconception is that when the winter is over, there's no risk. But in reality, the flu season continues all the way until like April, ending of April, beginning of May. So the vaccine that we have available, which is the injectable right now, we still have it until the end of June. So we have to be proactive to continue immunizing as a healthcare provider until the end of June. Okay? And don't think that because the weather gets better, it's not cold anymore, I'm already safe. No, the peak of the season actually begins beginning of March and April. That's when we start seeing more cases because we let the guard down.
Should we be practicing safe cleaning, washing, and all that, bring along with us a bottle of Purell or whatever kind of a hand cleaner in order to at least guard a little bit away from those viruses and bacteria?
Yes, the main measurements to protect yourself from getting exposed to the virus is frequent hand washing. Sanitizer, it's okay, but don't overdo it because then your hands are going to start getting dry. It is more effective to wash your hands frequently. If you sneeze and coughing, just go ahead and cover it with a tissue or with your elbow. If you're using tissues, go ahead and throw it away. Don't keep it in your pocket because then you're saving your virus and you're going to get your hands continually exposed again. But most importantly, wash your hands, cover your cough, your sneeze. If you're sick, if it's possible for you to stay home, and measurement, get vaccinated.
Okay, so clean, cover, contain yourself away from people,
yeah,
and,
say, yeah.
And then call a doctor.
Yeah. Exactly.
So the four C's.
The four C's.
There is another demystification that I would like to put on the table, and that's MRSA, M-R-S-A. I see it at the hospitals all the time. And what it is, it's there's a sign that's over a Purell sanitizer that says, here, wash your hands. Avoid MRSA or contain MRSA. What is that?
The MRSA that I know is the methicillin resistant Staphylococcus aureus. That's a bacterial infection which bacteria is resistant to most of the antibiotics. So it's a high risk infection and that needs hospitalization and high level treatments with antibiotics. But that's a bacterial disease.
Right. But is that prevalent outside or is that something that hospitals try to contain within so that it doesn't go out and become a pandemic?
And this is because of the high resistance that the bacteria has to antibiotics. It's very difficult to treat. Sometimes there are other procedures needed and high-tech antibiotics to treat that infection, bacterial infection.
So this interview is happening on a Thursday. It doesn't air till Saturday. Statistically, could there be one or two more deaths by the time this show airs?
We are receiving on a weekly basis around 500 notices of cases, 500 in a week. So, numbers are increasing dramatically.
Is that the hospitals calling you?
If we have high-risk population, like elderly, young kids, pregnant women, and persons with underlying conditions that are not vaccinated, of course, there's a threat of more deaths in our community.
Should we be alarmed at the 13 right now that
I don't want to say alarmed to the point that we're going to panic because we're not at that level yet, but definitely we had to take some measurements to prevent it from going that way. And the cases that we're receiving are coming from hospitals, are coming from physicians as well. So I don't think...
But this time last year, were we at 13? Is that normal or...
We had more cases last year. This season, up to now, we have 30% less cases than last year.
Okay.
We had five deaths last year.
But does that mean that 30% are reported or 30% don't want to become reported?
No. We have, a regular network of reporting, so it was the same last year.
Yeah.
The thing or the difference between this season and past season is the last season we started with type B virus.
Oh, okay.
That affects elderly people and very young kids. So the middle-aged population was kind of protected against type B, so it wasn't that intense, the season. The numbers were greater, but the disease were lesser.
I was at Walgreens the other day getting a prescription, and, there was a lot of sick people there waiting for the pharmacy. And I just thought, don't touch anything, But then when I had to go up to the register and pay and you have to touch, put your PIN number in, and I looked at the guy at the register and I said, are you guys sanitizing your swipe thing? Because he perked up and he was like, that's a good idea. And I said, tell your manager because sick people here.
Yeah, you need to consider your exposure. Hand washing at that moment is less important than the people covering sneeze. And cough, you're exposed. If you are breathing, you are at risk. If you are not, you don't have your flu shot, you're, at higher risk. If you don't do preventive measures, you're going to get sick.
See, and at the risk of alienating Sun Metro, because I ride the bus regularly, and I know for a fact that I caught my malady off of the bus because I'm breathing and there are people around me who sneeze, they cough, and they don't cover. And I saw one guy sneeze into his hands and then grab onto the rail. And I thought, okay, you know what? And short of having to wrap myself in saran wrap and this, I mean, how do you protect yourself in a public place?
It makes you wonder if Sun Metro is sanitizing their buses, and they should be because, you're putting out press releases, the health department is, about, the flu and, the four Cs. And so you would think that, other city services are sanitizing.
It's not happening.
But then the big picture here is how about the folks who fly on airlines with recirculated air? So you have recirculated air. It's not necessarily that all of the bacteria is going away, but you're breathing in two types of air, recirculated and the air that's right around you anyway. So how do you stop that?
You can't. Right?
You can't. You can because then you will have to isolate yourself and stay home and don't go out. But even like that, even if you stay home, you have your family members coming from outside. You don't know what they got exposed to. So they come in, your son, your daughter come and kisses you, and there you go.
Yeah. So a little sign of cariño, and all of a sudden,
exactly. So what is the best thing to do? What is the best thing to protect yourself? Get vaccinated.
A couple of weeks ago, I just saw a guy walking down the street, and he had a doctor's mask on. And that didn't seem unusual to me. I mean, I think that's pretty normal nowadays just to see someone with covering themselves up like that.
And you can see, this type of educational interventions. There are big cities worldwide, I don't know, D.C., I travel there, or Mexico City, in which people are covering with face masks, walking down the street. That's educational. That's prevention.
Well, you've educated me to the point where I want to go get an immunization for flu because it makes sense to me, and especially because I put myself into high risk just coming into work on the bus twice a day, 7 days a week. Plus, you mentioned it quite well. There is a stress level that comes along with it that will lower, and people don't ever think about that. That stress level is really going to compromise your immune system. And I don't eat like I should. That's another thing that's not bolstering my immune system. So at the tender age of almost 60, it makes sense to me.
I'm there.
See, the City Health Department has a speakers bureau. Is that right? And that is for an organization, say maybe a daycare can have a speaker come and talk up to the employees of the daycare about how to, what is a
prevent.
Speaker?
Okay. Prevent. Well, the Speakers Bureau covers a lot of different topics, and I'm proudly a member of that group. And we go and do presentation different topics. When is the West Nile virus? When is the flu? When is any healthcare issues that are going on in our community? We all are educated enough to go and provide presentation is open to all the different agencies.
It's free?
It's free. Okay. They can go to the city website and submit a request, and then one of us will go and do the presentation.
Well, we're at that time where it's like, gosh, this time has gone by so quickly. Mikasa Tsukasa. And I mean this seriously. Whenever you have anything that's happening in the city, we really want you to come back so that we can put it out there as media partners to make sure that the word gets out to the listeners that things need to be taken care of health-wise.
Sure will.
Definitely. Thank you for the invitation. It has been a pleasure to provide this information.
Okay, thank you to Mr. Fernando Gonzalez, lead epidemiologist with the city, and Alejandra Rodarte, overseer of El Paso's immunization program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Time to check in with AARP's Bill Newcott.
Forget the awards shows. What about your list of the best movies ever made? I'm Bill Newcott, and this is AARP's Movies for Grownups.
Where shall I go? What shall I do?
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
That's, of course, Clark Gable giving Vivian Leigh the old heave-ho in Gone with the Wind, the movie most often named the best film ever by readers of AARP.org. That's not so surprising. What's amazing is this. When we recently asked readers to name their favorite movie ever, they responded with a list of no less than 234 films. And the most popular of all, Gone with the Wind, got a mere 9 votes. Close behind, with 8 votes, was To Kill a Mockingbird. And some great classics like The African Queen, It's a Wonderful Life, King Kong, and The Wizard of Oz also got multiple votes. But get this, 184 other movies got a single vote each. I mean, who knew that someone's all-time favorite movie would be the 1957 Disney flick, Old Yeller?
Here, Yeller, come back, Yeller, this doggone dog in the West.
Or the 1985 Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd comedy, Spies Like Us.
Doctor, 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 and doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
And one reader reminded me of Charles Laughton's creepy masterpiece, Night of the Hunter, with its chilling sing-off between an evil Robert Mitchum and a shotgun-toting Lillian Gish.
Leaning on the everlasting arms.
The list of your favorite movies goes on and on. Hope Springs, I Remember Mama, His Girl Friday, and even Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Put your shoulder to the head. Hold on tight. He can't get in.
You can see more of the list at AARP.org, but the bottom line is this. There is no greatest movie ever made. And although film exists as sight and sound on a screen, its most powerful presence is deep within the minds and memories of those who love the movies. I'm Bill Newcott.
Thanks to the AARP for that last segment, and thanks to you for listening to this edition of El Paso Primetime.